How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
Well, these are dangerous days, and we do need tonight to give some strong consideration. And let's talk for a couple of moments, though, about why America needs saving. As you know, we've called this Save America Now. So I want to just cover a couple of things in Scripture. I want to suggest to you tonight that the most primary issue is that liberty is being misrepresented. This is the land of liberty. This is a place of freedom. But something is wrong when we use liberty as a justification to do what's wrong. Liberty was never intended to be an opportunity or a right to do wrong. It is never right to do wrong. Not in the liberty, name of liberty, or any other thing. The scripture here, as free, but not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. And if you don't think that what's coming is not malicious, you haven't been reading the papers or listening to the news. Because liberty is being used as a cloak to pass vile laws approving abominations of severe measures. You hear it all over the news. They say what people do behind their closed doors is their business, and nobody seems to care about that. I suggest to you that's wrong. That in fact, if you steal behind closed doors or you commit any other abomination behind closed doors, it will ruin a nation. For righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And our problem today is that in the name of liberty, we are authorizing people to do abominations. First problem, if this is not changed, what America calls liberty will not turn out to be free. It will turn into what the Bible says. And by the way, perhaps we need to take our share responsibility on this, because we have been teaching for years a grace that permits wrong. Grace does not cover up sin. Grace cleanses sin out of existence. And we, for years, have been saying it's like God wears these tinted glasses. And when He looks at you, even though you're living in sin, He sees you as if you're not. And we have been sowing that message in America for 45 or 50 years. Consequently, what we have called Christian liberty has turned into license. And so that we now sin that grace we think might abound. And God says, God forbid that this should occur. Second problem we have is our judicial system, as you know. We have an exact replica of our present situation in the scripture. The king of the country at the time was Jehoshaphat. And when he took over, all of the judicial system was indeed illegal, unlawful, and permitting wrongful deeds. So here is what he did. Jehoshaphat decided to set judges in the land and throughout all the fenced cities of Judah. City by city, every judge got replaced. Now watch this. And he said to the judges, take heed what you do. You better watch what you're doing when you're sitting on the bench. Because you do not judge for man, but you judge for the Lord. You are standing in the place of God when you judge. That's why in the Old Testament you have a whole lot of references to gods. And small g, lots of gods. Well, they were what they referred to judges as. It was a legitimate term to apply to a man with a small g and call him a god because he was a judge. You call him a god because in the function of judge, he was representing God. And so, here it is. You don't judge for man, but you judge for God. And look at this. And this God is with you when you make decisions on the bench. Look at this next verse. So now, and this is the instructions, by the way, that Jehoshaphat gave. He replaced all the judges in every city at every level. He replaced them all, and these are the instructions he gave the new judges that he appointed. Wherefore, now, and here is the qualification for a judge. Number one, let the fear of the Lord be on you. That is the first qualification for a judge, according to Scripture, that he has the fear of God. And what is that? And those of us who have attended the Institute, and by the way, 2 weeks, a week from this coming Monday, the Institute Basic Life Principles, Bill Gothard video seminar, will be starting here on the Monday night, Monday through Saturday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you can come in the morning. We're glad to have Doug Murr here tonight for putting it together. And I think we should say thanks to Doug for everything he does for the Institute in Jacksonville, Florida, don't you? I really do. And so that's happening. And if you have not been to the Institute, I suggest that you come. We're just offering our facility for them to use for this occasion. But we learned what the fear of the Lord is. It is the awareness that I am in the presence of a holy, just, and almighty God. I'm continually in the presence of God. And every word I speak, every motive of my heart, every action is open before Him and is being adjudicated, is being judged by Him. That's the fear of God. Little boys in the 5 and 10 store. And he reaches over the counter and he picks up a product and he starts to slide it into his coat pocket to walk out the store with it. And just before he gets it to his coat, he looks and sees that he's been watched by a guard. So what does he do? He puts it back because he knows he's being watched. Thou God, seest me. That's why when we have the fear of the Lord, our conduct changes. It's not hard to quit a sin because we know we're being watched. And so the first qualification for judges, number one, is the fear of the Lord. And then there's no iniquity with the Lord. And remember, he already said that you are standing in for God, so no iniquity. And look at this. And no respect of persons. You cannot have one judgment for one group of society and another judgment for the other group of society. And no taking of gifts. Here was the biblical qualification for judges. They had to have the fear of the Lord. They had to have no iniquity. No inequality in dealing with people. No respect of persons. And no taking of gifts. And I suggest to you that this is the model that needs to return to the American judicial system. I suggest that this is what should be taught in every law school in America. That in fact, if we're going to have justice in America again, it will be when we have judges who have the fear of the Lord, who realize that they are representing God. They're not judging for men, but they're judging for God, and they have no respect of persons, and they don't take any bribes of any sort, no gifts whatsoever. So, That's another problem we have in America. And then lastly, I want to suggest to you that perhaps one of our biggest problems, and Brother Mike prayed it moments ago, is that we, the church, have lost our influence. Never had the church so much power over the world as when it had nothing to do with the world. 25 years ago, we started a new kind of church. The idea is, let's look like them and sound like them. Let's do the things they do because they'll be comfortable in the coming. We'll be just like them. And slowly but surely, an erosion has taken place until we have become just like them. We have mingled with the heathen, and we have learned their ways. The problem in America is a church problem. It's a Christian church problem. Because a salt has lost its savor. So how is America going to be salted? You know the next part of this verse. Salt that's lost its savor is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast down and trodden under the foot of men. And then it goes on to say, you're the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but they put it on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Do we hear that the senator is here?
10 minutes.
How many can put up with a preacher 10 more minutes? Let me see your hand. I want to see your hands. Okay. All right. There's still 5 of you. So before he gets here, I'm going to have an altar call for you. Okay. The salt of the lost savor. You are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but they put it on a candlestick, and it giveth light to everybody that's in the house. And therein is our problem. The salt is in the salt shaker. The light is under a bushel. And let me just take this a step farther. Now let's go to this verse in Hosea. Because it's oft-quoted by Christians. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Everybody quotes the first part. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. But look at what the next part of it says. Because thou hast rejected the knowledge. It didn't happen by chance. The knowledge got rejected. But hold on. Look at this verse one more time. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. Who has rejected the knowledge? And the shocking discovery is it's not the people. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will reject thee that thou be no more a priest unto me. It was the pastors, the prophets, and the priests that rejected knowledge, and that's why the people didn't get it. Because the ministerial leadership had their own agenda. Do you follow the scripture? My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge because thou, Pastor David, you've rejected knowledge. And I will reject you, and you will be no more a priest unto me. Seeing, now here, because we have forgotten the laws of God. We have gotten away from the laws of God. David said, oh, I love thy, how I love thy law, O God. And in fact, he said, I delight to do thy will, O God. The law of God is perfect, converting the soul. The testimonies of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clean, but pure, enduring forever. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. More to be desired are they than gold, than much fine gold. But we rejected the law, and because of that, we've gotten into a problem. Here is the problem of the salt and the light. In the Bible, we must understand this whole idea of the gates of the cities. No, most cities were walled, and they had gates that you had to get through, and the gate was the political center. That's where the elders of the city sat. In fact, if you go to the book of Daniel, Daniel sat in the gates with the king. Where were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They were in the gates of the provinces. But Daniel sat in the gates of the nation. There are gates in nations. There are gates in states. There are gates in counties. There are gates in cities. And in fact, every home has a gate. And the Father is the keeper of the gate. Now, this is really important that you grasp this. And I know the center is just moments away. And now I'm just filling in. I hope you'll bear with me here. The gate was how you controlled who got access to the city. You see, the Father is the gate controlling what access gets into the household, into the home. He's the keeper of the gate. We have state gatekeepers. They control access to the state. At the national level, we have gatekeepers that control the access to America. Immigration Department, for example. Secondly, at the gates where you control commerce. How much product came into this city, how much it was going to be sold for. Commerce was controlled by the keepers of the gates. It was where the laws were made, and the laws, nobody came in without knowing what the laws are in the city. The keepers of the gates did that. It's where values were established, and it's where policies were worked out by the leadership, the elders of the city, or the elders of a nation. That's where policies were established. And it was physically, geographically located right at the gates of the city and of the gates of the nation. So they had to pass through and go along with the behaviors that were set by the gatekeepers. Now, God puts on Christians the responsibility to speak in the gates. One of the greatest promises for those of us who raise children according to the scriptures. Remember, I think it was Psalm 127? Children are heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward. And the scripture tells us that these children are like the arrows in the arms of a mighty man. They shall speak in the gates. We're preparing children to speak in the gates. So, the gates are the control centers of the nation, of the state, and of the cities. At the national level, we have a set of three gates. In fact, these gates were discovered, or our founding fathers came up with this idea of three branches of government from the scripture. The Lord is our judge, the judicial system. The Lord is our lawgiver, the legislature. The Lord is our king, the administration. And so we established in Washington the gates of the nation. Now watch, because this is what has happened. Because of the gatekeepers, we have mandatory humanism in our schools. Because of the gatekeepers, we have the legalized murder of the unborn. Because of the gatekeepers, we have the rewriting of American history. And in fact, we have the purging of the Ten Commandments from public view. And we have the banishment of public prayer. And we have sodomite legal access to our children in the works now. We have the destruction of family by redefining the family. And we have the coming illegalization of Christianity in America. Now watch this. The gates are responsible because the gates are the control centers of access, of commerce, of power, of policies. And they come because of these three gates. But the church and the Christians are responsible, according to the Bible, to speak to the gatekeepers, to speak in the gates. This is our task today. This is the power center. This is where commerce is controlled. Access to the nation is controlled here. Policies, procedures, values, beliefs, and behaviors are controlled by the gatekeepers. And God charges us with the responsibility of speaking or being in the gates. And if not being there, speaking the right message to the gatekeepers.
In closing, let me just, I promised on the back of the little flyers that we put out, some answers what you can do to save America now. And I'm just going to give you a couple of little tips, but let me announce a couple things. Number one, on your way out, we have the Wisdom Shop, and it will be open tonight. And if you don't have a copy of the Constitution of the United States, you can pick it up, or the Declaration of Independence, and a whole lot of other teachings there by David Barton, and some really intriguing material there you're welcome to take a look at. Just in closing, we really need to get onto this business, don't we, and be storming the gates of heaven. We need God in the situation. Without Him, we can do nothing.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.